You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone, and you're all very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 2, Episode 9. Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio. John, what a week in the League of Ireland.
Kieran, absolute controversy on the pitch, controversy off the pitch, controversy on social media. It's been great.
It truly is the greatest league in the world. And folks, we have the greatest podcast in the world for you tonight. That's official, by the way. What a lineup, John. Six guests. You want to run us through it?
Well, we've a bumper show this week, and we're going to kick off with Keith Ward, Derby Day hero.
Yeah, he had a little bit of fun during the week on social media. I wonder if that corner flag is still in his kitchen or his bedroom or where he stored it. But yeah, we'll be speaking to Keith about that Dublin Derby and Bo's form this season.
We've got a young prodigy from Longford Town. He was signed from Hardwick. Non-league, Dean Byrne.
Yeah, Longford have found a few non-league stars down the years. Obviously, David O'Sullivan, the most recent one, when he came in from Wayside. And Dean Byrne looks an absolute gem, I have to say. You'll remember a couple of weeks ago, John and I was calling out for him to get a starting role in this team. Last couple of games he started, and he's scoring goals. He scored a wonder goal in Drogheda on Friday. He was the best player on the pitch, and we will speak to him about that.
We've also got a Derry legend up there, Rory Patterson.
Yeah, I have to say a huge, huge thank you to all the folk up in Derry. I've never seen a reaction to an episode like we had last week. For anyone that didn't catch it, you can go back and find it on our iTunes and our other platforms, Series 2, Episode 8. We had Rory Hale from Derry City on, and the reaction from the Candy Strike supporters has been absolutely superb, John. We must have had 100 likes at least from Derry alone this week. Loads of positive comments on all our social media platforms. So as a thank you to those wonderful Derry folk, we have got Rory Patterson on the show tonight.
Yeah, if you haven't heard it, it was a great interview last week. Mm-hmm. A really talented young footballer. So yeah, it'd be great to speak to Rory as well this week. You also spoke to Kevin Doherty, Drogheda's assistant. So that late equaliser against Longford last week.
Yeah,
you must have been biting your tongue a bit when you were talking to him.
It's still stinging me a little bit, but Kevin, top man, was a Longford assistant last season. Very, very good to deal with, as always. And Drogheda have had a flying start to the season. That equaliser keeps them right in touch with UCD at the top. Only 2 points between the Drogs and the Students. And they're scoring goals for fun. That game on Friday was the first time Drogheda failed to score more than two in a game this season.
Yep, good. And we love them, you love them. It's a couple of fan interviews to finish off. We'll be talking to Keith O'Dwyer from Ocean FM, big Sligo fan.
Yeah, Ocean FM, they cover Sligo Rovers very well. It's always great to see local stations covering their local football teams. So we've got Keith on to talk about the Bit O' Red, who are looking up a little bit now. Limerick looking big trouble, John. I'm sure Sligo are obviously going to be wanting to focus on their own performances. So we've spoken to Keith about things on the field and off the field as well at the showgrounds.
And a man I'm really looking forward to speaking to, Dundalk lifelong fan, Jerry Curtis.
Yeah, so I'm sure all our listeners know at this stage, I spend a lot of my time up in Oriel Park these days, and I've met some really wonderful footballing people up there. And Jerry Curtis is one of the most knowledgeable men you'll come across in this league. And we've got him on the show to talk about the Lilywhites. But we're going to crack straight into it, folks. Loads of other topics to cover tonight. Obviously, Stephen Bradley, Shelburne, big changes there. Greg Bulger versus Fabio. We've got it all. We've got it all covered. We'll run through that later on. But we're going to crack straight into it with the Derby. Rovers losing 2-1 at home to Bo's. And as we said, the spotlight is well and truly on Stephen Bradley now, John.
The pressure is piling on Bradley. And for once, it wasn't his goalkeepers that were at fault. Hogan actually had a very good game here, Kieran.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks before this one, a lot of pundits in the league came out and said that they felt sorry for Kevin Horgan, a young goalkeeper thrown in at the deep end. And personally, I didn't agree with those views, John. I know he's a young goalkeeper and he's been thrown in there and his back four has let him down. But he's the man that has to go in and put the performances in. He hadn't done that up until the last two games for Rovers, where he's been the best player on the pitch. So I have felt sorry for him this week.
Bo's were straight out of the traps in this one. And I suppose there was an early warning sign for Rovers. Danny Grant with a shot that flashed wide, Kieran. Keith Ward also forced a good save from him. But they were hit against the run of play by Dan Carr with an acrobatic finish from across from Graham Burke.
Yeah, fantastic finish from Carr. And Rovers are really going to miss him now. He got himself sent off really silly against Bray midweek. We'll discuss that later on, but I'm starting to wonder where the goals might come from now that he's going to be out of the side.
The ref should have given a penalty. Really strange decision, this one. It looked pretty stonewall to me. Grant went down under Luke Burns' challenge. Looked a penalty
Don't sugarcoat it, John. It wasn't a strange decision. It was an absolutely terrible one. And I think the standard of officiating is something a couple of our followers have tweeted in to say we really need to discuss on the show. I think the linesmen in this league are nearly a bigger issue than the referees at the moment. I've been at so many games where the linesman is terrified to make a decision. And this was another example of that. On Friday night, the linesman was looking right across the line. He could see that it was contact, clear penalty, but it wasn't given.
One man that's impressing me in midfield is Watts, and his run should have got a better outcome, but it was his ball that led to a Dan Byrne volley to equalise it up at 1-1.
Yeah, I think Watts may have had an injury in pre-season, and that contributed to a very slow start from a young player on loan from Leicester's under-23s. He's a former UCD player, and there was a lot expected of him when he signed for Bohemians, but as I said, a slow start, but he's really cranked into gear the last couple of weeks, and it was a super performance in the derby, and that was a wonderful cross for the equaliser.
Yeah, there's a couple more chances at each end. Lee squared, but Dinny Corcoran shot straight at Hogan. The other end, Shane Supple saved well from an effort from Gary Shaw, but it was Dara Leahy that cropped up in the 9th minute of injury time to give Bowes a deserved winner.
Yeah, I wonder when Bowes look back at the end of the season how important that save from Shane Supple may be. I think he's been out of form this season, but he was fantastic in the derby the other night. The Bowes players really seemed to step up their performance, and as you said, that winner, I think it was the perfect goal to sum up Shamrock Rovers this season. A ball across the box that several players had the chance to cut out. They didn't. Runs to Leahy. He hits it first time straight into the top corner. Nothing Horgan could do about it. Wild scenes in the away end. And Bowes, you have to say they deserved it on the night, John.
Yeah, I think Keith Long enjoyed it as well, didn't he, on the sideline?
Yeah, really, really good to see. A big fan of Keith Long. I think he's done a great job with Bowes. Previously with that loan as well, he almost pulled off a miracle, almost kept them up. So he's a manager that you like to see doing well. Obviously, as we said, Stephen Bradley is a man that the spotlight's on. I would not like to be him this week. But we'll speak about that later on, folks. We're going to bring you our first interview of the night now, and it's Keith Ward, the Bohemians midfielder. So we're delighted to be joined on the show now by the Dublin Derby hero. It's, of course, Bohemians, Keith Ward. Keith, you're very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks very much for having me, lads.
So, Keith, I'd imagine you've had a very enjoyable week there. You've caused a bit of a stir on social media as well, which is always nice with the 3 points.
Yeah, no, well, obviously going back to Friday, it was a great night for, I think, everyone involved, the club, fans, players, staff. Just obviously a great night all round, and just a pity we couldn't, you know, go on Monday again and get another result, but obviously we've got Cork on Friday, so we can look forward to that and hopefully get back to getting some points on the board.
Yeah, of course, the season started for Bowes with a huge win against Rovers at home in Dalymount Park. I think everyone felt that Bowes would probably kick on from that and have a good start to the season, but as you mentioned there, it's been a little bit inconsistent. So are you hoping now that this second Dublin Derby win is the start of something really special for Bowes this season?
Yeah, I think it has to be fair, you know. We started the season obviously great with our win in the derby, but, you know, since that we've been disappointing, you know. Some good performances, but not results to put with it. But, yeah, obviously going back to Friday, it was great, obviously, to get another derby win. But then again, you know, we kind of let ourselves down again on Monday with a disappointing result up in Derry. But, you know, we can put it right again, hopefully, on Monday, and maybe that can kickstart our season. But, you know, we can't just keep saying that and hoping that it will. Like, we really do need to start kicking on now and putting some points on the board.
And just going back to yourself personally, Keith, we'd love to go back and have a little look at your career so far in the League of Ireland. Obviously, it all started with UCD. 2008 there, you broke into the first team and was part of that fantastic promotion winning side in 2009.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, coming into UCD at 2008, I was 17, you know, 2.5, I think 3 years there, you know, it was unbelievable time, you know, I loved my time there. I was a fan of the league coming in, so, you know, obviously UCD, it was a great place to start off. Obviously, the year I came in, I was with the reserves and that in the 20s, but the first team got relegated, but I was lucky to get come on in 2 games. And then next year with Martin coming in as manager, you know, we had an unbelievable season to go and win the first division with our team. Now, we had a serious team as in, but it was very young, and, you know, Sport Fingal had a great team at the time, and Shells and Waterford, so it was a very tough league to get out of, but to win it was special with the team we had and that, and the next season coming up. You know, we had a decent enough year as well with a lot of great players.
Yeah, we had Evan Galvin on a couple of weeks ago here to look back on that fantastic UCD side of 2009. Was that one of the best sides you ever played in terms of the players, obviously, that have gone in, have gone on to achieve unbelievable things, the likes of Andy Boyle, David McMillan, Kieran Kilduff, so many great players in that side.
Yeah, you know, you could go on and name a few more, like, you know, Greg Bulger and that as well. Even when I signed there, Enda Stevens was there, he went on, he's obviously playing abroad now. But yeah, it was just a great side at the time. Like, you know, at the time you didn't know whether lads would push on and have such good careers that they did. But at the time when we were playing with UCD, we knew we were all kind of, you know, up and coming, hoping to go on and have a good career. But yeah, it's great to look around and look back and just see what a team it was. And it was great to see everyone go on and do well.
Yeah, Keith, I was going to ask you a bit more about your career, because you ended up in 2013, a few years ago, with Dundalk, and you were an ever-present there until a bad injury. How badly did that affect you, Keith?
Yeah, it's disappointing, you know, looking back at it. At the time, you know, I was playing week in, week out, coming up until the injury. And I think I played every game up until my injury, and it was just before the break, and it's bad enough getting an injury, but I never had an injury before, and then to find out I'd done my cruciate was obviously a big surprise. But you know, the lads went on that season. You know, I know Pats went away and won the league, but it was a great season with a new team put together. And I think we finished second that season and made a good few signings. And I knew myself signing back for the next season that it was going to be tough, but I obviously would have hoped it got a bit more game time, but it just wasn't to be. And it's just one of them things that, you know, it is what it is.
And now you're on your second spell at Bowes. You seem to have settled into that midfield playmaker role quite well. Is it somewhere you think you'll be for a while now, Keith?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. You know, I'm loving my time here at Bowes. My third season at Bowes, but I'm obviously into my second season this time with them. And I think I've said it a few times that it's a good place to be at the moment. This year we've a lot of good young lads coming through, and you know, obviously I'll be one of the older lads now, so it's nice to see them come through and do well and get some recognition, like Dylan Watts on Friday, who had a great game, and that elite left back with Stokesy up top and with JJ Lunny in the hole, and Danny Grant right wing. A lot of like teenagers there are early 20s, so it's great to see some good young talent coming through the league, and hopefully they can kick on and have a great season as well.
Yeah, we certainly noticed Watts the last couple of games. He looks a real he looks a real talent. But one last thing I was going to ask you myself was, you know, I'm often wondering about part time clubs, you know, in this league, because it must be very hard for Bowes to compete against the likes of the Dundalks and Corks and Derrys, you know, all these full time outfits. But you seem to do very well despite that.
Yeah, it's, you know, I've been full time with one or two clubs, and I've been part time, and you know, I never really thought much of it, as in much of a difference, because we train, I'd say we do train as much as other clubs, but the way I look at it now, it's the recovery that I think that benefits the full-time clubs. It's not so much the actual training. It's, you know, like playing on a Friday and a Monday, it's the recovery that some lads have to go to work. Like, you know, we play a game on a Monday up in Derry and we don't get home until 1:30, and maybe full-time clubs might have a day off, or they can come in the next day at 12. Like, half our team is probably going to work, like myself, the next day. So it's kind of like that. I think that it's the benefit of being full-time. But it is what it is, you know. Like, we do train a lot, and I still love coming in training every day. Like I think some lads would rather maybe a day or two off, but I wouldn't change it the amount we train, you know what I mean?
And finally, Keith, you mentioned already, huge game this Friday night against Cork City. It's live on Air Sport as well, so I'm sure you're going to be looking to put in a good performance there for the cameras. Hopefully getting a result?
Yeah, absolutely. We played Cork there in our first round of games, and you know, they beat us 3-0, but I didn't think that was a fair reflection on the game. So I know most teams always say if they play well, they have a great chance of winning, but I do think if we can put in the same performance as we put in against Rovers, that kind of desire and where we pass the ball very well and that, I think we can definitely get something from the game. But it will obviously be tough with Cork coming as champions, and they're on a good run of form. So hopefully it'll be another good game as well for the cameras, because I think last Friday's night's game went down great for the cameras and people watching in. It's always great for the league if you can get a game like that on telly, because, you know, the game at the start of the season on telly, even though it was a great night for us, but it wasn't football in terms great for people looking in. So hopefully it can be a good footballing game for the neutrals on Friday and be positive for the league.
Yeah, as you said, it was a great advert for the league. I think everyone agrees that a great advert, and it was great to see the little tweet afterwards as well. We love that. That's why it's the greatest league in the world.
No, you know, it's only just a bit of banter, but, you know, you have to enjoy them nights as well. So it was just a bit of crack, but it seemed to went down all right.
Keith, fantastic. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes for the rest of the season.
Thanks very much for having us, lads.
Cheers, Keith.
See you, bud.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So, well, great to hear from Keith Ward there, John, and thanks to him for joining us. We'll move on to the next result now, which was a win for Derry against Waterford. Have the wheels come off with those suspensions, John?
Well, Kieran, you seem to be cursing them, you know, as I did with Rovers, saying they were the real deal, and that seems a long time ago. And you were saying about Waterford general title contenders, but they seem to have a contention for more red cards than the local card shop at the moment.
Yeah, another two midweek. I think we're seeing the effect of a small squad there, John. I just had a little look earlier on their website, and as far as I could see, there was only 19 senior players listed. So with, what, four or five of those out suspended now at the moment, their entire midfield basically is out suspended. So this could be a rocky spell for Waterford now.
Yeah, well, take nothing away from Derry. This was impressive. They're starting to look very good, Kieran. And, you know, it was Waterford that first chance with Akinadi, who's really not yet clicked at Waterford.
No, and really needs to step up in the next few weeks. But look, we'll speak about Waterford more in the preview section.
Gavin Pearce cleared off the line there from Akinadi early on. And then Rory Hale, the other, forced Vigouroux into a great save, Kieran. And, you know, there were chances. Patterson headed over from Ronan Hale cross. And it was a Ronan Hale cross where Doyle header beat Vigouroux to take the lead 1-0 with that one. McAniff had a chance that Vigouroux saved. Derry had another chance from Curtis near the end. There was heavy Derry pressure. Waterford just looked a bit of a shadow of the team that were previously.
I think that's to be expected, though, without the creative qualities of Bastian Heary. And obviously you have the workhorse there that is Abora in midfield. I think Vigouroux is going to be a very busy man over the next couple of weeks. And I know Waterford's defensive record has been quite good this season. They've only conceded 9 goals in their 11 games. But I'm just thinking, without Vigouroux, how many more would they have conceded? He's been a very busy man since he's come into Waterford. And for me, he's up there as one of the top keepers in the league at the moment.
Yeah, he's been excellent, hasn't he, since he joined this season. But look, Waterford just starting to struggle a little bit. You'd be a little bit concerned and need to. I know they've appealed in against those red cards, but they look a different team without those players.
Yeah, as I said, we'll discuss Waterford a little bit more in the preview section. But just on Derry, John, another win to bring it to 6 in a row in the league, 7 in all competitions. And I suppose there's no better time to hear from one of their top men, is the centre forward, Rory Patterson, who we spoke to a little bit earlier, folks. So, Derry fans, this is your reward for your fantastic support of the show last week when we had Rory Hale on. We have another Rory. It's Rory Patterson. Rory, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, it's been an incredible few weeks for Derry City, Rory. 7 wins on the trot in all competitions. But I suppose the real acid test comes now on Friday night when you travel to Oriel Park.
No, obviously it's a nice wee run that we've got on, and some good performances as well as the results. But we're under no illusions how difficult it's going to be down at Oriel. Like, it's always a tough place to go, and the squad that they have this season, like, they're going to take some stabbing.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to penetrate our Dundalk defence. They've only conceded 1 all season, Rory.
Yeah, well, that's the stats and everybody's coming out with at the minute, that their defence is formidable, like, at the minute. And obviously, Stephen Kenny signed well, and I think that's relayed back on their defensive displays as well as scoring as well.
Going back to the start of the season, you didn't get off to the best of starts there up at Derry, but you know, the move to the Brandywell seems to have really sparked, and you've gone on this run now of 7 unbeaten. What do you put it down to, Rory?
Oh, I remember I was on the show a few months ago, and I was saying that it was about a nightmare in pre-season. It was very, very stop-start, and we rarely had an 11-a-side pitch to get working on things. I think there's like 12, 13 new players came on, and when you don't have a space or the facilities, they work well for it. Like, it's hard to get everybody gel, but like within the squad, we gel quite well. Like, but obviously on the pitch, things weren't right, but we've got there now.
Yeah, seems to be playing really well, and it must be great to have such a depth of young talent playing and taking the pressure off you a bit. The Hale brothers, you know, looking at Ronan scored six goals this season, and Ronan Curtis and McInniff, some fantastic players.
No, what's that? I think that's testament to Kenny and obviously his staff for the recruiting that he's done. Like, he's an eye for the young players coming in, like, and he's given the Derry lads a chance, and where our managers haven't. And then he's signed well as well, like the likes of the Hale brothers coming in, and Owen Toll's got his chance now this season, and he's looks like he's stepped up on our level as well. So now it's a good group of lads that we have now. Like.
As I mentioned, Rory, we had Rory Hale on the show last week, and he feels this Derry side are genuine title contenders, regardless of how the game goes Friday in Oriel. Would you agree with that, or is it simply taking it one game at a time?
I'm going to put a gag in, Rory. I'm joking. it's with the young lads in, they've got the butt between their teeth now, and sometimes you might have to rein them back a bit, but just... We're under no illusions, like I said, of how difficult it's going to be down there. Like, and obviously, if you got anything from there at the minute, it'd be good. Like, where it'd be a point, and if we got the 3 points, it'd be an absolute bonus. Like, and obviously, if we keep our run going, as for title contenders, that's Rory might have been saying that, but and within the dressing room and stuff, we got there. Like, it's European football is the main thing for us. So if we stay in the running there in the top three, and who knows what could happen then, like, when we get to the summer or whatever, and could get a couple of bodies on to freshen things up. We'll just have to play game by game, as a very cliche goes.
I was speaking to a Derry fan there at the weekend for a while, and we were talking about just a difference, you know, for a supporter, the likes of having to go to McGinn Park last season. It probably turned away a few Derry fans, but this season back at the Brandywell, and you know, the crowds are coming. It just seems to be a completely different atmosphere up there, Rory.
No, that's it. Obviously, with the hammering that we got at Shamrock Rovers, there was serious amount of doom and gloom about the place, and some of not nice things said. Like, some of it wanted, some of it I think was about over the top. Like, we do have a very young team, and there's young lads in there that we obviously don't want to be in. Like, but no, obviously getting back on the brand now was a massive thing. Where, like you said, we were travelling down to McGinn, and we didn't actually have a base where we train most days. Now at the brand new, we know where we're going to be. Obviously, it has a home feeling there. Like, obviously, the way the crowd and just the atmosphere about the place. Like, where I was on your show before, and it says that the atmosphere I didn't think personal when I was at McGinn Park.
And finally, Rory, as John mentioned there, there's some really talented young players in the Derry side this season, and a lot of them are chipping in with goals. Ronan Hale, 6 goals. Curtis has 4 goals, yourself with 3. Is there a bit of healthy competition in the dressing room there?
No, there is. There definitely is. The young ones, the ones that are obviously scoring, you can see the hunger on them, like the kick balls, and Ronan Hale gets a chance, and 9 times out of 10 it's going to end up in the back of the net. He's a good finisher, like, and Armack and F, he's flying as well. He looks like he stepped up an hour level, and that says many a time as well. This is, in my opinion, it's Curtis's year this year. If he wants to get away, that he has to grab it and he has to take that next step. And I think you can tell with some of the players that have played against him, like, they don't enjoy it, like, because he doesn't give them any peace at all. Like.
Well, Roy, it's been absolutely fantastic having you on once again. A huge game in Oriel Friday night. Really looking forward to attending that one. Best wishes for that and the rest of the season, and thanks for joining us.
No problem, anytime.
Cheers, Roy.
Bye-bye.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
Okay, moving on from that interview, a bit of a lacklustre game down at Cork. But it finished Cork 1, St Pat's 0. Pretty poor first half, Kieran. Graham Cummins had a hit the post. But the goal came from another Cummins header, and it was a good ball from McCormack that was played through, and that gave Cork the 1-0 lead. They had a chance to make it 2 when Morrissey shot wide, and Cummins forced Murphy into a good save late on. Also, Josh O'Hanlon, surprise on the pitch there. He fed Keohane, but saved. St. Pat's really didn't offer very little.
No, a little bit disappointing from St. Pat's, but I think we'll probably see an upturn from them in the coming weeks. In terms of Cork City, I feel very similar to how Dundalk have performed this season, John. Cork are getting the results. They're only a couple of points off that top spot, but they haven't kicked into top gear, and they're certainly a shadow of the team they were last season, but I think that was always to be expected without Shawnee Maguire. But Graham Cummins looks to have hit a little bit of a rocky patch.
Yeah, but to be fair, it's never easy. I know he's coming back from Scotland, and he's still adjusting for a new team, and yes, he got off to a great start, but... you know, all strikers are going to go through situations like that, Kieran.
Do you feel that's more down to Graham Cummins himself, or is he not receiving the service at the moment?
Well, they're just, like you say, they don't seem to have hit top gear, and I'd say they probably haven't hit the top two gears in his last couple of matches. But look, it'll come. They're champions for a reason, Kieran, and, you know, they are scoring goals, but... you know,
they've only conceded 7, John, but when you're looking at Dundalk, there's only conceded 1. It seems so much more. But 7 and 10 is a fine defensive record. It's the second best in the league. So you're getting what you expect defensively from Cork, but offensively, as I said, maybe we're judging them too harshly because of what they've done last year and because they had Sean Maguire just tearing up defences for fun. But they do need to start chipping in with a few more goals in the coming weeks. They've actually scored...
second highest goal scorers in the league.
Yeah,
it's so 20, haven't they?
We probably are being overly harsh on them. It's just the football on display hasn't really been dazzling. But while Dundalk are getting all the plaudits, I don't think they've been dazzling either. So I would like to see those two teams really kick into gear. But we'll probably see that now as we move into the second and then the third series and things start to really heat up and mean a lot more overall.
Next game, Kieran. Bray at home to Dundalk. This finished a 2-0 victory for the Lilywhites. But... Bray looked a little different in this match, Kieran, with under Graham Kelly in charge.
Yeah, much more solid. A lot more like we've seen in that opening game where they got the draw at Oriel Park. They were really well organised that night. Obviously, that was under Dave Mackey, who's since left. But a lot more shape about the side than we've seen in the last few weeks. And a lot more effort, John. We slated them on last week's show, I think it's fair to say, for Down and Tools recently. But this was a much more industrial display from Bray. And it was probably signs of what was to come during the week with that win over Rovers.
Yeah, Bray had the chances in this one as well. It could have been a very different result if Aaron Green hadn't shot wide early on. But, you know, we talked about Green, didn't we? You were critical of the way he played this season. He made a couple of saves. Sava saved from him, and McCabe as well again, and he made a save from a McCabe lob. So, you know, Bray looked a lot better in this game, and it was only a late second that killed the game off. Now, it was Pat Hooban, as we say. he lashed in the opener, Kieran. Bray, that say similar old faults. They didn't clear a corner, and he scored the first goal. But like I said, it was late on when John Mountney scored after a lovely run from Duffy there, Kieran. Bray much improved.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, Sava had to chip in with a couple of fine saves to keep Dundalk's lead, and Mountney getting a very, very late goal just to kill it off. Sava probably feeling a bit hard done by to be dropped midweek then with Gary Rogers returning. He's put in some excellent performances while Rogers has been out injured. But as I said, Dundalk, they're not in top gear yet, but they're picking up the results. I suppose the old cliche is that's the sign of champions. And just going back to comparing themselves and Cork, I suppose the difference at the moment is Hoban is chipping in with the goals, even though Dundalk aren't playing their best football at the moment, whereas Cummins, he got his goals early on in the season, but they've dried up in the last few weeks.
Yeah, and look, just going back to Bray, Kieran, I always find it strange how a team can play so badly under one manager. A new manager comes in and the team looks invigorated.
Yeah, I mean, one man you've mentioned there, just for example, Aaron Green, such an experienced player, and McCabe, two experienced players in that side. They looked ghosts of themselves in recent weeks, but they were excellent in the two games that Bray have played this week. So you just have to wonder what went on in the dressing room. We don't know. We can only speculate. But as you said, much improved performances, and we'll have to see whether Martin Russell is going to come in there or whether Graham Kelly, I'm not sure if he has the appropriate badges or not. We'll have to see the situation on that. But it's looking a bit more promising for Bray now all of a sudden.
It is. And that could have, like I said before, that could have quite easily gone Bray's way had Green scored early on, but much improved. And as we saw during the week, they started to they picked up their first win. But we'll come on to that in a bit. Final match we talk about on Friday, there was Limerick against Sligo.
Yeah, if you thought the Cork and Pats game wasn't too exciting, John, this was fairly woeful, even though there was three goals scored. I suppose the real headline was Reese McCabe's goal, but we're going to have to talk about referees again. That was clearly a rolling ball. You have two linesmen and a fourth official. How has nobody seen that?
I've no idea, Kieran. You know, by the letter of law, that's you know, it's not allowed. No. Yeah, exactly. The ball's moving when he hits it. I don't know what the ref was maybe.
I think the ref might have had his back turned. But as I said, there's three other officials there that can make a call on that. Someone has to. This was too big of a game for a mistake like that. We were dubbing this as a playoff decider on last week's show. Limerick at home, you would have expected them to be picking up something from it. So to lose to their relegation rivals is a massive blow. And from all reports last night, Limerick were woeful against Dundalk, and you just wonder if the wheels are about to really come off there now in Limerick.
Too many matches where we've had to say that Limerick were woeful, Kieran, and you'd worry about them.
John, I get the impression, John, from looking at them, they're a team that's almost settled mentality-wise on preparing themselves for a playoff already. That sounds crazy after 11 games, but the lack of effort from some of the players. I know we slated Bray last week, so we might as well call Limerick out on it now. They look a team that just have given up already, that they're going to get themselves out of this dogfight.
One positive, I suppose, for them, Conor Clifford's back. You know?
Meh.
You're not impressed, no.
Well, you can't judge him on one performance at Limerick, but as I said on last week's show, I wasn't impressed with him during his spell at Dundalk. Now, I know he's admitted himself his fitness levels weren't where they should have been. He probably took the League of Ireland for granted a little bit. He's done an extremely tough personal fitness regime during his ban. I think he was doing two or three sessions a day on his own. So, look, we'd love to see him do well. He's still a young player.
Yep.
He wasn't at Chelsea for nothing, but I just feel sometimes when you see these players that have dropped down so low in England, Boreham Wood was his last club in England before he came to the League of Ireland. Yep. I'm not expecting a huge amount for him, so anything he can do at Limerick is a bonus.
Yeah, to be fair, in this game, Sligo were the better team, Kieran, and it's about time Reece McCabe clicked, and he headed wide, and as I say, there was that free kick, which, had the ball not been rolling, would have been it was a fantastic hit anyway, you know, but really shouldn't have been given. That made it 1-0. Morehouse made it 2 late on, and a scramble was forced in by Daniel Cairns, but that really was just a consolation. 2-1 Sligo.
Sligo were very lucky to stay up last season, John, but one of the main factors in them surviving was Reece McCabe, and I think this was a game where you seen him, he got more of a free role in the team, he was pushed on a little bit further. I think Ger Little has been far, far too defensive with this Sligo team so far this season, and that's proven in their lack of goals. But McCabe was a star act down in Limerick on Saturday evening, and I think if we can see that sort of form from him for the rest of the year, things are going to pick up slightly at Sligo, but again, I'm not expecting them to climb too much higher in that league table.
Moving on, Kieran, to the midweek results. Pats won Waterford 0, Ryan Brennan goal.
Yeah, poor Markham from Waterford for that one, letting Brennan get in between the two centre-halves, and he's flicked a header in. It was a good cross. Pats deserved to win this one, but the big story, two more red cards for Waterford.
Well, Purry's first was from a penalty decision, which was a bit harsh, but Keegan missed it, Kieran, but his second yellow. Was it a bit of a dive?
It's a hard one to call, but judging by his teammates' reaction, no one seemed to rush to his immediate defence, so maybe that gives something away. On the penalty, John, interesting. This is the third time in a couple of minutes where we're mentioning referees.
Yeah.
The referee should have let play go on. Pat's had the ball in the net, a fine finish, and he's blown the whistle and given a penalty, and Jake Keegan, very unlucky, he's just put it wide. It's hit the stanchion at the back of the goal. A couple of people actually thought it was in the back of the net.
Yeah.
But the play should have definitely been allowed to continue for a couple of more seconds, and Pats would have had their second. But as I said, it was a comfortable win in the end, and Waterford now are in trouble.
Kieran, there was an awful two-footed studs-up job from Gavin Hoolahan as well. Did you see that one?
It wasn't malicious, John. I have to defend Gavin Hoolahan. We've had him on our show.
It looked bad, though, Kieran.
It looked bad, but he's gone in with all intention to win the ball. He hasn't gone in to do damage. He has gone in two-footed. As I said, there was no intent in it, but letter of the law, 2 feet off the ground, red card, had to go, I'm afraid.
Yeah, we know he's not that kind of player.
No, definitely not.
Had to go. Right, has the bubble burst for Waterford, Kieran?
you may have seen I had a little bit of a debate with Declan Fabio O'Brien on Twitter yesterday.
He's not one for the odd debate on Twitter, is he?
Don't worry, there was no name calling here, but he feels that Waterford are in trouble now and are probably going to do well to make the top five. But my argument was, if they can just see this spell out now, as you mentioned earlier, there is an appeal going in, but I don't think they're going to have a lot of joy in that. If they can just weather this storm, pick up a couple of points here and there, they're five ahead of Rovers at the moment. The transfer window's coming along. We know Waterford will have the resources in the summer to bring in a couple of players. I feel there's enough quality in this team when everyone's on the pitch. As I mentioned earlier, it's a small squad and that might be the downfall for Anna Reynolds. But if Waterford can hang in there, top four certainly isn't gone. So I wouldn't be writing Waterford off yet. But obviously this next couple of weeks is going to be really testing for the Blues.
Indeed. We'll move on to Fortress Brandywell, where Derry made it 3-1 against Bowes. It was a lovely turn and shot for the first goal by Aaron McAniff, Kieran.
Yeah, but he should have never got in there, John. He's broke through two tackles, so that's a disappointing goal for Bowes to give away, but a fine finish from McAniff, who has really, really stepped it up the last couple of weeks, and it'll be hugely interesting to see how he gets on against the club he was so strongly linked with during the summer at Dundalk.
Yeah, Dylan Watts, man we talked about earlier, lovely dink over the keeper to make it 1-1.
Yeah, again, he should have never got in there, John. He's ran past two Derry midfielders. They haven't tracked his run, and the centre-halves were slow on getting across, but a very clever finish from Watts.
Another red card, I'm afraid, here, and this is probably what swung the match. Patrick Kavanagh went too fit. It didn't look good again, Kieran, this one.
Yeah, that one was a little bit more, I wouldn't use the word nasty, but there was certainly, you couldn't have, I suppose, any sympathy with Paddy. He's gone in to try and win the ball. He hasn't gone in to do any damage, but it was a very badly timed one, and he deserved to go.
Yeah, straight red all day, Kieran. And that let Derry in. Rory Patterson, you know, goal poacher. Mm-hmm. He followed up 2-1, a parried shot, and poor pass led to a Derry breakaway. 3-1, I'm surprising goal scorer Nicky Lowe latched onto it and scored.
Yeah, doesn't score too often, but he's a very important midfielder for Derry. And I'm sure Kenny Sheed is delighted to have his services again this year. And I think he's another one, just like McAniff, that's really stepped up his performances the last couple of weeks.
Indeed. Moving on, and a massive shock here at the Seaside. Bray 1, Rovers 0, Kit.
Wow, I couldn't. I was watching this one on one of the betting streams. It's been a great addition this year. I think you can nearly get all the League of Ireland games on it now. But
yeah.
Rovers were so poor on the night, John. They created very, very little. The only thing they did create was the break goal, because it was Ronan Finn with a shocking pass back towards his own goal. Ronan Coughlin, a man that was apparently rejected by Shamrock Rovers in the summer, he's the one that's gone in and he's finished it wonderfully well. Again, Kevin Horgan, there was nothing he could do about it. So no protection from his back four at all. Ronan Finn's reaction was appalling, I have to say. He throws his hands up in the air. He's looking for someone to blame. Should have no one to blame for himself. He's the captain. It's a poor example to be setting. And as Fabio O'Brien said, Greg Bulger, again, non-existent performance. That Rovers midfield, they're not creating enough. They're leaving too much reliance on Graham Burke. Carr sent off, that was another turning point in this game, but even with him on the pitch, I don't feel Rovers were going to get back into it. It was a totally non-existent performance, and you can see why the pressure is on Stephen Bradley now.
Massive pressure now, Kieran. I mean, you can't. Ray had 1 point before this match, Kieran, but you know, it's just an absolute disastrous result for them. How long has he got left, Kieran?
If they lose on Friday to Limerick, or is it Saturday, that fixture, has to go. I'm sorry. He should walk if they lose that one. Limerick have been appalling this season. Shamrock Rovers, I really fear for where the goals are going to come from now with Carr out. Gary Shaw hasn't been hitting the net regularly since he arrived at Tala, even though we're big fans of him here on the show, John. He brings a lot to the side, but he's not a natural goal scorer. As we said, Burke, if he's not on form, the rest of the team doesn't seem to be on form. You have defensive worries there. As good as Corgan's been the last couple of weeks, there's always a mistake in him. They're going to be up against the likes of a really physical striker and Mark Sullivan. How are Rovers going to deal with it? They'll probably come out and win 2 or 3 nil, but it's the results in the big games that's letting them down this season. Losing to Cork, losing to Dundalk, and now they've lost to the bottom side Bray, so it's just really not going Stephen Bradley's way this season.
No, and he's coming under a lot of pressure from pundits as well, and good a time as any to talk about Fabio's Twitter spat with Bulger there, Kieran.
I'm sorry, I can't see why people are having a pop at Fabio O'Brien. Yes, I suppose the language he used was strong and calling it a disgrace and saying that Greg Bulger should hand back his wages. As I pointed out on social media earlier today, these League of Ireland players, they're not making fortunes, they're not millionaires, we know that. But there's so many people out there that would do this for free. They'd love to be out there playing for their clubs. Greg Bulger has not shown up for Shamrock Rovers this season, John. Ronan Finn, I feel, is getting away with it very lightly. There doesn't seem to be a lot of talk about his performances. I feel he's been just as poor this season for Rovers. And it's the decision-making that's going to cost Stephen Bradley at the end of the day. I know Alan Cawley said that the goalkeeping situation could end up costing him his job. But for me, we go back to the very start of the season. Simon Madden let go. A transfer fee paid for Ethan Boyd, who has been absolutely atrocious. I'm sorry, he has been. As I said, Carr now suspended. Where's the goals going to come from? It looks a mess at Rovers. They're out of the title race, make no doubts about it. And as I said, 5 points behind Waterford. If Waterford can come out of this mini spell of trouble they're having, are Rovers even going to make Europe?
They're going to struggle. I think they're looking at cups already to for any kind of silverware. I don't know. I'm in agreement with you. Poor results against Limerick, and I think he's going to be out, Kieran.
Yeah. It's such a massive club. The expectation's always going to be there. In fairness to the Shamrock Rovers fans, they've stuck with him. I watched the game, as I said the other night. There was a very, very small section that were calling for Bradley out at the end of the game. But overall, they're sticking with the team. The attendances away from home have been the best in the league. And as I said, they're sticking with the team. But at the end of the day, this is Shamrock Rovers. They're the biggest club in the country. Three losses on the trot is not acceptable to that club. If he loses a fourth, I'm sorry, I think he's gone.
Okay, we'll move on to the other couple of midweek matches. We saw a 1-0 victory for Cork over Sligo.
Yeah, another dull game, this one. Jimmy Keohane, I suppose it was always going to be a former Sligo player that would get the winner. There's so many of them at Cork these days, but he was the man that popped up with another win for Cork to just keep them in touch with Dundalk. Not much more we can say. It was another very toothless attacking display from Sligo, John.
Yeah, and like you said, Cork maybe still have another couple of gears to go up.
Definitely.
And look, they're still winning the matches and keeping up with Dundalk. And finally, Dundalk, who we were just talking about, they went to Limerick and they won 3-0, quite comfortable this one.
Yeah, they cruised to a 3-0 win without even playing very well. We're going to bring you the thoughts now of a man who was at that game midweek. It's Gerry Curtis, a lifelong Dundalk FC supporter. So, as you know, we love to get League of Ireland fans on Between the Stripes LOI podcast here, and we're joined now by a lifelong Dundalk supporter. It's Gerry Curtis. Gerry, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Kieran. I've been following a bit of your stuff. I'm not that technically minded, but I listened to a little bit of it, and it's quite good.
Very, very good.
It's a pleasure to be talking to you.
Thanks very much, Gerry. Great to have you on. Great to have such a knowledgeable League of Ireland fan on. Was listening to yourself on Dundalk FM during the week, and a very good discussion on the Lily Whites. We're going to discuss Stephen Kenny's side now. Top of the league after 12 games, looking good. A 3-0 win down in Limerick last night. But is it fair to say Dundalk haven't hit top gear yet?
Well, I think there's another gear in us. So I do honestly believe. I think we played second gear last night. It's the poorest side as I've seen in a long time in Limerick last night. I thought there was no coordination with them, no fight, no working for one another. I just thought Dundalk had it as handy as they're going to have it all year.
And they certainly won't have it handy on Friday, Gerry. Derry come to town, seven wins in a row.
It's the one, I think Derry has been, it'd be wrong to say the surprise packet. They had a good finish to their season last season. They had a terrible start, if we all remember, going back to 12 months previous with Ryan McBride. And it kind of shattered them for a while. But they come back, and they're what I like about them, they're a football side. They're a bit of steel about them, but they're also a good football side. And I'm looking forward to Friday night. Hopefully the town just keeps winning and keeps that clean sheet going.
Yeah, obviously only one goal conceded all year. That was against Shamrock Rovers. Huge test coming up in the next couple of weeks. Obviously that Derry game, then it's Cork away.
Then it's away to Cork. I think we have the measure of Cork the year.
John, you're shaking your head.
It just seems to be a bogey team, don't they?
Yeah, well, they got the result over them the last day, but
If we played them the way we played them that night,
Yeah, Jerry, I remember
them at their own game.
I remember mentioning that on the show the week after that game. I felt Dundalk, there was a massive style change for that game. It wasn't so much the possession game we've seen from Stephen Kenny's side down the years. It was a lot more grit and fire. A lot of tough challenges went in from both sides. But I think it's fair to say both Cork and Dundalk haven't fully clicked into top gear yet this season.
Well, I would accept that. I think Cork are a good side. They have a few changes in their team as well coming through, and that's I can see a big change in Dundalk's two, particularly Yale, Sean Hoare and Jamie McGrath. They're good players, and I liked them from day one. But I see it fast. They've come up another 2 gears this year because I think they're now into Stephen Kenny's way of playing and training, and they've bought into his philosophy, shall we say.
Jerry, one man that's really impressed me this season, Dan Cleary. How big a signing's he been?
I think he's the find of the year. I just think he's tremendous. He's fearless. He's class act about him. He's cool. He's the only thing he's lacking at the moment is a goal in the other box. Other than that, he's the real deal.
Yeah, I think Dundalk obviously looking good defensive, but the only one criticism I would have is I think they just lack a bit of a playmaker. You know, their midfielders are, Benson's more a box-to-box type player, and Shields would be certainly a little bit more defensive.
Well, I would echo them sentiments. It's the one fear I have. We haven't got Patrick McElhenney or the Darrell Hogg and the Richie Towle of old. We had him and he left us to go back to, which I think is still the best creative midfielder in the country, which is Ronan Finn. He wouldn't give you the creative to run him, but he's a very cool head. I think he's a very steady influence on your team.
I'd have to disagree, Jerry, in regards to Ronan Finn. I think he's done underperformed greatly since he signed for Shamrock Rovers. He was at fault.
I accept he hasn't, but I still think he's the best player to have, and I still think he's the best creative midfielder in the league. I think he needs the quality that he had at Dundalk to shine.
Yeah, I think that might be right. He obviously looked a lot better with the players around him, and Rovers aren't having the best of seasons far.
I think any reasonably good player, if he has quality around him, will stand out. I'm a great believer in a player is as good as his club. A player is not better than his club.
Jerry, one thing I wanted to ask you about was about the ground development. We've seen St Pat's announce a new stadium.
Well, plans for a new stadium.
Well, plans, yeah, exactly. And Derry and Bowes finally. But since the new orders took over, there's not been too much about Oriel Park. Sure, it's about time.
No, other than we got rid of the little pond at the back of the town goals.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. I think we have to give it. I personally think it's just my own hunch in it. I think this is going to be a 3 or 4 year plan. I see potential. Whether we redevelop Oriel Park, it's not far away from making it a reasonably good stadium. I know it lacks facilities. It's gone 50 years now, so just over 50 years since we turned the pitch around and made it what it was, and it has been the same infrastructure since. So we haven't moved with the times. You're mentioning Bowes there. Dublin City Council is digging them out. Tala, Dublin City Council dug them out. With a pitch going, with a team going to waste at loan, which should have better potential, or the college owns it, or Waterford College owns it, Cork, which is a good ground, Munster Association owns it. The money has been thrown into it now by Derry, by the British government, thrown it into a beautiful stadium. I think we should be getting an awful lot more help. And I'm not wouldn't knock your own stadium there in Longford. I think it's ever. I would do the last time I was over, and I just said I would just love to be able to pick it up as it was and drop it into Oriel Park.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll be a Premier Division ground next season, Jerry.
I hope for your own sake, because your ground is up to that. But I don't think we get. I know we're mixed up with, we're not to talk about all the millions we got and everything else. And we've supposedly got 6 point odd million from our great adventure in Europe. But there's an awful lot of we didn't get all these countries and expense without spending an awful lot of money as well. And we more likely, if figures go right, what you hear about, we might have come out with 3 to 3.5 million at the end of it. And since then, I would imagine the club has spent, as a layman looking in, they're after paying off whatever the council rate to us. We've had serious problems for years that we could do nothing because of ownerships and trying to find out who owned it this and who owned it that. And I think they must have spent definitely $250,000, if not £1 million, in relaying the pitch, buying their YDC centre and paying off the local councils.
Yeah, either way, Gerry, it looks to be extremely exciting times for everyone involved in Dundalk. I'll be at the game myself Friday, looking forward to it. Should be an absolute belter in Oriel Park. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Please, God, thanks very much for the call.
Cheers, Gerry.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Gerry.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
Okay, Kieran, we're going to move on to the first division. I'm going to start at Drogheda, where we got a last-minute equaliser. Just get away with a 1-1 draw at home to Longford. You were there, Kieran?
Real sickener, John, I have to say. Longford, superb on the night. Another really good away performance, just like up in Galway. But still no away win for Neil Fenn's side. So that's going to be a worry. But as I said, Dean Byrne, best player on the pitch the other night. He came in for Sam Verdon in the number 10 position. Every man for Longford played well. But there's still a little bit of doubt there regarding Chris Mulhall. He just doesn't seem to be clicking as he should.
No, you still need that man up front, though. You know, Dean Byrne's obviously going to play off him, you know, or Sam Verdon is. So I think they're going to stick with him. You know, he's still relatively new at the club, so give him a bit of a chance.
Just in terms of draw, as I said, first time they haven't scored more than two. There was a controversial penalty decision in this one. There was an offside decision. So again, we're going back to referees. But I suppose taking my Longford glasses off, a draw was probably a fair result, as disappointing as it was for Longford to let it slip. But for further analysis on that game now, we're going to speak to the Drogheda United assistant manager. And of course, he was the former Longford assistant manager last season. It's Kevin Doherty. So it was a cracking finish to the game in Drogheda on Friday night, if you were a Drogheda fan, I suppose. And we're joined on the line now by the Drogheda United assistant manager and former Longford Town assistant as well. It's Kevin Doherty. Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Kieran. How are you?
So, Kevin, as I said, quite the finale up in United Park on Friday night. How did you feel overall the game went? Do you feel Drogheda deserved that late equaliser?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think I don't think we played as well as we have done in previous games. But looking back, I watched the game back as well. And, I mean, Mick Kelly pulled off some wonderful saves. And I think we should have had a penalty from Mark Doyle. Was taken down and somehow it was given as a corner. I don't know how that happened, but... And then actually looking back again, Jake Hyland had a goal disallowed just a minute before half time, which was, I looked at it back and I even looked and he was 2 yards on.
Yeah,
side.
I have to say,
very surprised.
I have to say, when I was at the game, I was one of very few in the away when I actually thought I was onside myself, and haven't seen the footage back. He looks to be a good 2 yards on, but I suppose that's the level of officiating we're dealing with in the league this season.
I wouldn't have a go at them. I just think the linesman made a mistake. And look, it was a big point in the game. As I said, it was right. I think the whistle went for half time, more or less straight after it. So we would have went down at half time, 1-1. And look, the way the game went, as I said, I don't think we played as well as we have done. But we, as I said, we brought out a number of saves from McKelly. Paul Skinner didn't make a save from the game. And Dean Bourne got a great goal for Longford, and Longford were decent at the top. Young A and Dean Zamber were very good in the middle, and they played well. But I don't think we played up to our potential. And the thing that really shone through was the character of the side, that we were able to keep going and keep going and keep going when it looked time was running out. As you were there yourself, it was literally the last kick of the ball. Kieran Kelly was a great finish, actually, big centre half. Don't know how he finished like that, but in fairness to him, he's got a couple of goals this season. So. No, look, it was good to get the point. We'd have liked the three, but look, as I said, the way things went, would have been the last kick of the game, you're happy with to take the point.
It's certainly been a fantastic start to the season for Drogheda. Only 2 points off the top, I think I'm correct in saying. But it looks to be a big set of fixtures coming up for your side now, Kevin. A trip to Cove at the weekend, and then you have a League and Cup double against your former side, Shelburne, before a long trip up to Donegal. So is this a crucial stage of the season now for Drogheda United?
The way it works out, like, you know, we've... I know it's probably a cliche, but all the games seem to be very important, and they're all very close. And it's been said, I've heard it on your show and on others and in other media stuff, it's so close with it between probably six, seven of the sides. Like, yeah. You know, we're going down to Cove now on Saturday, which is our main priority at the moment. And look, we all know how hard it is to go down there, and Stephen Henderson will have them flying because they got a good result. They got a few goals last week, and it's going to be a very tough place to go. And then the rearranged game from Shelbourne it's not the rearranged game. We haven't played them, but it's the start of the next series. So
yes.
we'll have to fit that in. So we haven't played Shelbourne and we haven't played Cove. But other than that, bar the two where we won comfortably, they've all been very competitive games. It's a much better league than it has been over the past couple of seasons. We all know last year Waterford, the year before Limerick, it was always going to be tough for any other side, but there definitely seems to be a much better balance this year. And there's nobody really, really standing out as the standalone team. Yeah, maybe after the second series of games, who knows, there might be, but I just don't think so at this stage. That's what I'm saying about all the games. We have a tough run, but I think the whole thing is tough, you know. There's very little between any of the sides.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question for you, Kevin, actually. It's strange to think that just last season when you were with Longford, it was such a dull league, in all fairness. Waterford, runaway winners, attendances dropped obviously all across the league as a result, and there just seemed to be very little media talk regarding the First Division. This year, with the restructuring, there's at least seven sides there, I feel, that can win the division, not just get promotion through obviously what's an extended playoff series this season. And when things reach that stage of the season, you'd imagine attendances and media coverage is really going to boil up. So do the FEI need to take credit for this restructuring, because it looks to have had a major impact on the First Division?
Well, I mean, I'd have been critical of it probably last year when there was no playoffs, and what you said there about one team getting promoted and that was it and the rest were all falling off. But maybe it was a necessary evil that had to happen at one stage, because whatever way it's come about, it's definitely more competitive with the 10 teams and the closeness between probably the vast majority of the teams in the league. So yeah, they probably do deserve credit for that. It's an exciting league. I do think, look, the likes of yourselves and obviously help, there's a lot more coverage of the First Division. I even noticed even on Soccer Republic that they don't even pull up the results last season, to be honest. And look, it's something very small, and you'd like to see highlights of the games and all that as well. But definitely clubs are doing as well. I mean, I saw the draw to have stuff up of our highlights, and I saw the highlights from Longford from the other night and stuff. So the clubs are definitely doing a bit more as well, and it certainly will bring more excitement towards the end of the season. Attendances will obviously, the more exciting it is, the better the attendances are going to be. So it'll certainly go towards that as well.
Yeah, and the Drogheda media team have certainly been busy this season uploading the goals. 23 goals scored by your side this season. You must be delighted with that attacking threat, and only conceded 8 goals in the 7, so quite a decent defensive record there as well.
Yeah, we've been fairly good in front of goal. Obviously, the first couple of games were unbelievable. I've never probably seen anything like it for the first couple of games to score. We scored 14 goals in our first two games, so yeah. It was unusual, but look, we've had those couple of games, everything you hit just hit the back of the net. But in fairness, we've scored in every game since, and we've definitely been prolific in front of goal. And the thing that we're sort of most happy with, myself and Tim as the manager, would be the goals are coming from all over. Like, as I said, Kieran centre-half scored the equaliser the other night. We've had other players like chipping in, wingers, midfielders as well. So it's not just, whereas maybe throughout the league, I've heard you talking about the number nines in the league. There's so much quality in the league now that if for whatever reason you were missing one of those at one stage, teams might struggle to score as many goals. But we're lucky enough at the moment that the goals seem to be fairly spread around the team. So look, it's something we're working on. We're working on keeping it right at the back. So we don't think we did an awful lot wrong the other night. As I said, Dean Bourne, it was a great goal that he scored. Carol Chambers did very well to set up for him. But defensively, we've been okay. Look, we've been, look, so we're, at the moment we're second in the league. I know, don't look at the table, we're obviously doing something right at the moment. So look, hopefully we can keep it going and see where that takes us.
And in terms of goal scorers and number nine, Strahda there look to have two of potentially the best in the division if they can stay injury free in Lee Duffy, a former Longford man, and Gareth McCaffrey, who's returned to the club. I'd imagine Tim was delighted to get the services of those two for this season.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Look, they're both very good players, and Chris Lyons is I suppose our number nine as well, and he's only came back, he came on for the last 15 minutes against yourselves, and he actually made a big difference. He's been probably Chris Lyons, I think, has probably been one of our best players in the opening series before he got injured. So we're lucky that we have Gareth, Chris, and Lee as well. And Lee can play obviously either side. Gareth can play either side as well. And we've young Stephen Meaney as well, who's chipped in with a couple of goals as well. So it's, as I said, exciting times. They're doing okay. Good young lads, good hungry young lads that want to do well. So the more of them, the better for us.
And finally, Kevin, how have you found working with the new manager, Tim Clancy, a rookie manager? It's his first job in senior management, having just retired from playing last season. So an exciting and fresh experience for him. And I'd imagine it's an exciting venture for yourself to be working with him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been brilliant. He's taken to it like a duck to water. In fairness to him, I tapped him on the shoulder during the Wexford game when we were five up after half or 25 minutes and said, just letting you know, it's not always like this, just in case you got, we thought it was that easy. But he's been great. Really enjoy working. We have a very good relationship. He has a lot of ideas that some that I wouldn't have thought of before, and managers that I had worked with before maybe weren't thinking along the same lines as him. He's very, very, I know it's a thing that people always have about tactics and stuff, but he's very tactically aware. As you said, he's only finished playing last year, so he has that understanding of the modern player, you know. So I know the lads appreciate it. And look, as I said, he started so well. So look, hopefully he can keep it up and we can all keep it up. And then, look, as I said, we'll see where it takes us after the next couple of series of games.
I always say finally, and then one more pops into my head. But just in terms of Tim Clancy, and you mentioned the new ideas he's bringing forward there and fresh into the league, is he a new breed of League of Ireland manager we're looking at? Across the league, there seems to be a lot of players retiring a lot earlier. You're looking at Longford there, the likes of Neil Fenn, a young manager that's come in, Tim Clancy. You have Stephen Bradley. Obviously, things aren't going great for him at the moment, but he is one of the newer managers in the league. A lot of young managers across the League of Ireland at the moment. So are we seeing a change in the tide, perhaps?
Well, look, I think there's always room for experienced managers. Like, you know, like, you could be managing into your 70s, as some managers have done. And I think experience is a massive thing. The fact that there's a lot of new managers, as you said, have come in over the last few years, probably meant for the way that lads, when they finished playing over the last few years, have gone into the coaching a lot more. I think obviously the coach education, also the FEI, and I know Tim done stuff in Scotland as well. It's definitely it's improved an awful lot over the years. From what I know before, I know there was always work done, but I definitely think that there's a lot more. Like, you see the way that the 19s, the 17s, the 15s, it lends itself to a lot more jobs for people, like, as in learning how to coach and learning teams. You see the calibre of coaches in 15, 17, 19, right throughout the league. Like, a lot of former players, and some even that aren't former players but would have good ideas on the game. So it's definitely it's an exciting time to be involved in the league, as a coaching capacity, as a managing capacity, and for the players as well. It's probably mirrors the way the fact that the league is, there's younger players playing now as well. It's a lot younger league even than when I was playing. So I suppose that might transfer onto the coaching staff as well.
Kevin, it's been a pleasure. I suppose we'll have to forgive you for that late equaliser on Friday now, since you came on the show. Thanks for joining us.
No bother.
And we'll speak to you again later in the season, Kevin.
See you soon.
Cheers.
All the best. Good luck. See you.
Okay, next result, Kieran. Cabinteely 2, Shelburne 0. A little bit of a turn-up.
Yeah, I think that's the shock result of the weekend. Shells have been in such hot form, goal-scoring form, especially David O'Sullivan. So to not just lose, but to be locked out completely by Cabinteely was a big surprise. And they've fired themselves up the table now. So interesting to see if they can kick on in the next few weeks. Just in terms of Shells, John, some big news this week out of the club. Looks like there's going to be some major investment there to the tune of, it's believed to be, £500,000. Dave O'Connor, the former Shamrock Rovers defender, has gone in as CEO. And last night, Dave Henderson, well-known man within the League of Ireland. He's gone in as head of recruitment. So Shell's looking to fire themselves back to the big time.
Yeah, all change there. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes on. But it can only be a good thing for Shell's going forward, Kieran.
Mm-hmm.
Cabo goals going for Conor Keighley and Kieran Marty Waters, man you were talking about last week. Moving on, UCD hit the top of the table, 3-2 against Finn Harps. Man's on fire, Georgie Kelly hat-trick.
Yeah, we spoke last week about UCD needing to show character after their first defeat of the season against Drogheda, and they were behind in this one, and as you mentioned, Georgie Kelly steps up, big players, big games, hat-trick, 3-2 to UCD, they go top, and they'll come to Longford full of confidence of picking up another result. As for Finn Harps, a stuttering start to the season, Ollie Horgan's going to be disappointed there. I think that's 2 wins in 6 so far for Harps, so any more slip-ups from them and they could soon find themselves getting cut away, John.
Galway had a nice win against Wexford. It wasn't helped by a red card for Ross there for Wexford, but 4-1 there. Danny Furlong amongst the goalscorers.
Yeah, Danny Furlong back after a little bit of a dry spell, but he did have an injury recently, so maybe it's just taken him a while to get back up to tune. Aaron Dobbs scored an absolute screamer in this one for Wexford to equalise, and he's a man that's picked up a little bit of form in recent weeks. And I think before that red card, Wexford were banging this one, and it probably says a little bit about Galway this season. I know when we've spoken to Shane Keegan numerous times, he said he feels that his Galway team is playing within themselves at the moment. I think this was another performance, although the scoreline is quite flattering, 4-1, that does prove that. And Galway are going to need to pick up their performances, because the likes of Drogheda, UCD and even Longford, they're looking quite close to the finished product at the moment.
Yeah. Handy win for Cove. 4-1 at Athlone, Kieran.
Yeah. JJ Kabia with a couple of goals there. And I was speaking to a couple of people from Cove earlier today. I wanted to find a bit more out about this young man out. And apparently he's picked up an injury in training just at the wrong time. But a really talented youngster that can play out wide or up top. So there's big things expected from him, but in terms of, I know we've spoken about Cove lacking a number 9, they don't feel that this is the player that's going to fill that gap either. So Cove obviously a good win against Athlone, but expected bigger tests to come for Cove. They need to start scoring more goals on a more consistent basis.
So look, we'll move on to the First Division previews, Kieran, and our prediction game. So we'll start with Shells against Galway.
Shells against Galway, yeah. I feel bar Longford and UCD, this is probably the headline act in the First Division this weekend. Two teams that have plenty of attack and threat. The big headline here will be David O'Sullivan going up against Danny Furlong. You'd love to have both of them in your team, wouldn't you, John?
Yeah, certainly would.
Tough one to call, but I think with home form, I'd probably have to go with Shells.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you with that one, Kieran. I know we tend to have a lot of agreements, so which is a good thing, I suppose. But,
yeah, we drew last week's St. Mel's prediction game for anyone that tuned in. Total deadlock. So what we're going to do this week, the final prediction in both the Premier and the First Division, we're going to put a score prediction on it, and whoever comes closer is going to get the 3 points this week, John.
Interesting. Okay. Harps against an informed Cabin Teeler, Kieran.
Another tough one to call, but sure, all games are this season in the First Division. It's just so tight. Cabin Teeler now starting to pick up form. But those big results they had against Drogheda and their win against Shells, they both came at home. So it's up to Cabin Teeler to show some big away performances. And obviously Donegal, not the easiest place to go. I feel if Harps want to be in the promotion push this season, these are the sort of games they have to be winning. So I'm going to call a Harps win.
As am I. After that, we are looking at Cove against Drogheda. Cove, a handy win last week, but let's not forget it was against Athlone. Drogheda held by Longford.
Yeah, I've seen all the teams play Longford so far, bar UCD and Harps. And I have to say, Drogheda gave Longford their toughest game so far this season on Friday night. Not in terms of quality. I don't think Drogheda are the sort of team that's going to get it down and pass it the way the likes of Longford, UCD and even Galway do. But in terms of physicality, organisation, I was impressed by Drogheda. I'm hearing a lot of good things about Tim Clancy, their manager. And as I mentioned, they have so many attacking threats in that side. Lee Duffy, Gareth McCaffrey, plenty of goal scorers there. So I'm going to have to go with a Drogheda win.
Well, I'm going to disagree with that one. I'm going to just think that win for Cove at the weekend might just start their season off, and I'm going to go for a Cove victory, Kieran. So we're going to miss with that one.
They haven't had a home win yet this season, John, so maybe you're their lucky charm.
Exactly. Wexford play Athlone in the Battle of the Bottom, Kieran.
Two teams that do not know how to score goals, but as I mentioned, Aaron Dobbs has found a little bit of form, so you'd be hoping he can start chipping in. But Wexford have only 4 goals they've scored this season, John. Athlone have scored 6. But defensively at Lawn, 32 goals conceded, whereas Wexford have conceded less than half of that. So you have to go with the home side.
Yeah, Dobbs will be the difference for me, Kieran, and going with a home win. And finally, we'll go to...
Just in terms of a score prediction, John, in case we're deadlocked.
Oh, all right, okay. I'll go 3-0 Wexford.
I can't... That's what I was going to say.
Well, tough. No. You asked me first.
I will go 4-1 Wexford.
Okay, perfect. Final match in the First Division. Longford at home to UCD. This should be a good one. It's top of the table cracker, this.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. You'd like to see a big crowd turnout, but hard to attract people to First Division games. And you always hear the thing, oh, it's only UCD they're playing. But don't get me wrong, this is a fantastic UCD side. Really looking forward to seeing them play on Saturday in the City and Colin Stadium. As we mentioned, Longford game management needs to be a lot better. If they get the lead in this one, they can't afford to let it slip. And as I said during my piece on betweenthestripes.ie during the week, getting to the top of the table is a big thing mentally for teams. Dundalk have spoken about how delighted they are to be top after being dislodged for so long over the last season and a half by Cork. So for a team full of players that have won so many trophies to be saying things like that, it should prove to Neil Fenn and his players how important it is for Longford to try and get a foothold at the top of the division for the first time this season. So look, I'm going to go for a Longford win, but I think it'll be a tight one.
I think I'm going for a Longford win as well, but I expect Georgie Kelly to score the odd goal. So it could be a high scorer, that one, Kieran.
Could do indeed.
One man that we hopefully will be on the score sheet is Dean Byrne.
Yeah, and we are going to speak to the former Hardwick Town youngster now about his transition into the League of Ireland First Division. So, despite myself and John being Longford Town fans, we haven't had too many Longford Town players on the podcast this season, but we're about to change that now. We are delighted to be joined by Longford Town striker Dean Byrne. Dean, you're very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Cheers, Kieran. Good to be here.
So, Dean, extremely unlucky on Friday night, 1-0 up against Drogheda, 10 seconds or less to go, and Kieran Kelly scores a late equaliser off a set piece. Despite the disappointment, Longford Town looking good in the First Division, only 4 points off the top. And personally, you've broken into the team now after coming in from the non-leagues, 4 goals to your name. You must be overall delighted.
Big time, yeah. I had people saying that the League of Ireland First Division was the toughest in years. But coming up from the Premier A to the First Division, I found a big step up, definitely. But I wanted to test myself against the best, as I believe in my own ability. But I couldn't have picked a better side, to be honest. I knew a lot of the boys coming in, and the ones that I didn't know have welcomed me with open arms. So we're doing well. We're very unlucky in games. We've deserved to win most games that we played. And I think we are a threat going forward for the rest of the season. And I think when we do click, it's going to be dangerous for other teams in the league, to be honest.
And from your own personal point of view, Dean, how big of a step up has it been from the AUL? I think most people would agree, while the AUL is a good standard of football, it's probably not recognised on the same level as perhaps the Leinster Senior League. So it is quite a big step up. How have you found it personally?
Definitely, it is a massive step up. As I said, I had people telling me that was too big of a step up for me. But, as I said again, I believe in my own ability. So, fitness-wise, it was more of a step up than I expected. Because, obviously, AUL football is not... You don't have to be the fittest person in the land to play in that. But now we get why fitness comes into play and since I've signed for Longford. Because last 10 minutes of games where usually you tire out, now we're stepping up a level, but definitely it's been a massive step up. It's something that I didn't expect, to be honest, but I think I've took to it well, and hopefully it continues now and I'll keep working hard, you know.
Everyone knows Neil Fenn's style of football. It's a passing game, possession based, good attractive football to watch. But as you said there, Longford do look extremely fit this season. Was at the game against Galway, and Galway are the only full-time side in the First Division. And I thought Longford looked a lot fitter than them on the night. So how big of a fitness part does Neil Fenn focus on his players?
It's massive, the fitness side of things. Like we had Ken in pre-season looking after the running side of things, and he did. He done a lot for us in pre-season, and it gave us that sort of platform to build on from there. We had the fitness behind us now. It was just about getting the football right. And obviously, as everybody knows, Neil Fenn loves to play football. And he's never changed the philosophy of the game. Even when we're winning, we're losing, we're drawing, we always keep the ball on the deck. So it was big. That was a big factor for me as well, because I've always played with teams that like to keep the ball on the deck and get playing. Like, it suits my game to a T, to be honest. So the fitness side of things does help massively, though. Massively.
I suppose the only downside to the Town's game this year so far has perhaps been game management. A lot of late goals have gone in against them, particularly that game in Shells, Penley in the last minute. That's the only defeat Longford have had this season. And then obviously in Drogheda, the late goal, even going back to the opening game, letting in two goals in the last couple of minutes against Cove was disappointing. So is that something that's been spoken about during the week?
Yeah, it actually has been in most team talks after games that we need to learn to manage games. But we will learn. A lot of us are young in the side. It comes with experience. Like, we've got the likes of Dino Zambra and Darren Meenan there, that when they are in the side, we possibly going forward will be able to hold out games, and us as young lads can learn from them boys to see games out from there. Like, but definitely it has been in most team talks that we need to be stronger, but we need to be smarter on the ball coming towards the end of games. Especially the other night, like that felt like a defeat in the end against Drogheda, that we weren't able to see that out. Like, that would have been massive, massive 3 points for us. But we'll learn going forward from that. You learn from your mistakes, as they say.
And obviously, it's a huge game on Saturday now for Longford. As I said earlier on, Longford only sit 4 points off the top, and the top side coming to the City Colin Stadium on Saturday, UCD, who have looked absolutely fantastic this season, has to be said. I'd imagine the lads are well up for that one.
Yeah. The camp is buzzing for Saturday. It's the biggest of the season, to be honest, so far. And hopefully we get a good turnout to get behind us and we go at UCD and approach the game as we have every other game and go to win it and keep the ball on the deck and try to play fancy football the way we have been. And to most teams, we are a threat to any team in the league, I think, to be honest. We will threaten any side in the league. So we're all buzzing for the game on Saturday, and that's how it is. Hopefully we get the 3 points, and it'll be a huge step forward for us if we do.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, obviously the team would love to see a big turnout, but home form has been fantastic so far this season for Longford. Only one game they failed to win, which was the draw against Cove, as I mentioned there. So I'd imagine the home form is something that the Town really want to focus on this year, and if that's strong and you're getting points away from home, as the Town have been, it's going to be a positive year one way or another at the end of it.
Definitely. The home form has been excellent so far, and we want to make that sort of a fortress where teams just don't really want to come to us at all. But as you said, it's vital we pick up away points. Like, the other night should have been 3 points. Galway, we had a chance, good few chances to win against Galway down there. And I think we will, once we start winning away, I think we'll get a few on the road this year, big points. But for the City Calling, I can't see many teams beating us down there.
Well, Dean, that's certainly an ominous message for the rest of the First Division. We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us, and keep up the fantastic form. It's been a great start to the season.
No problem, Kieran. Thanks very much, mate.
Cheers, Dean. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Okay, we're going to move on to the Premier Division previews, and we're going to start off with top of the table clash, Dundalk against the highly informed Derry.
Six league wins in a row for Dundalk, six league wins in a row for Derry. Two informed sides going at it. Should be a fantastic game. As Jerry Curtis said earlier on the show, these are two teams that like to play really good football, so I'm really looking forward to seeing this one, John. But for me, Dundalk just have too much firepower. They've got the best goal difference in the league, plus 21. As you've mentioned many times, they've only conceded a goal. Derry, joint top scorers themselves, 22 goals with Dundalk. So, as we said, potential for goals, but that Dundalk defence is just too good at the moment. And looking back at history, Derry haven't won against Dundalk since 2013, when Roy Patterson scored two penalties. So unless something crazy like that happens, I feel the home side have enough to win this one.
Yeah, I think Dundalk will shade this, but it won't be by too much because Derry are in good form. But yeah, I think Dundalk at home are a bit of a different prospect. Yeah. So home win as well for me. Watford would be desperate to get back on course. They're at home to Bray, Kieran.
Yeah, I know I defended Waterford earlier on in the show here, saying that if they can get through this little spell, and this is the sort of game you're going to be looking at for to just even pick up a point to stop the rot. But I was extremely impressed with Bray over their last two games, even though they lost to Dundalk. As I said, the shape was a lot better, and they got their goal, their deserved goal against Rovers on Monday night, and I feel they can get at least a point from this one, John.
Are you going for a draw?
Yeah, a draw.
Well, I'll go for a Waterford win. They'll look to bounce back. I know they'll be without a fair few players, but I still think they should have enough for a resurgent Bray. Moving on, we have Bohemians against Cork City.
Yeah, live on air, so hopefully another great attractive game for the league, as the derby was last weekend. Bo's home form, we speak about it all the time, it hasn't been good enough over the last couple of seasons. Cork City need to win this to keep in touch with Dundalk. Missing a couple of players through suspension, but I just don't feel Bo's are clicking, and they've been inconsistent this season, as Keith Ward admitted to himself there earlier on. If they could win this, it would be a really good way to kick on for the rest of the season. But for me, Cork will just have a little bit too much for them.
I think so. I think Cork will be a bit too tight at the back for them. Both struggling for goals. Lack of a recognised goal scorer. Yeah, Cork win for me, Kieran. Absolute must win now for Stephen Bradley. It's Rovers against Limerick.
Yeah, two teams that are in very, very poor form at the moment. Rovers have lost their last three on the bounce. Limerick, as I said, they look to have almost given up the ghost already in terms of getting out of that relegation playoff position. Their players are going to have to put in a shift in Talla. They have a poor record there. Although Rovers are lacking goals, you're going to be looking to the likes of Graham Burke to dig them out again from midfield. Gary Shaw needs to step up. This is the sort of game where he needs to prove that he's good enough to be at a club like Shamrock Rovers, and I believe he is. But as I said, he has to go out and put in the performances. Rovers would probably just nick this one, but I don't think they'll keep a clean sheet. I'm going to say maybe 3 or 4-1 to Rovers.
Kieran, I think Rovers will win it quite easily. Well, they have to. It's as simple as that. And Limerick can't score. The defence is poor. Home win, Kieran.
And finally, John, Sligo versus Pats. Two sides we've always associated with chasing down titles in recent years, but Sligo not having the best of seasons. Pats look to have turned a little bit of a corner, and a win could bring them above Rovers in the table.
Yeah, very difficult one to go with, though.
Think about it carefully now, because this is the score prediction one for the Premier Division.
Is it? Well, I'm going with a St. Pat's win, but it won't be pretty. 1-0.
Ooh. Yeah, Sligo have been involved in a few 1-0s lately, haven't they, John? But for me, they just don't have enough up front. This is the sort of game we're talking about Gary Shaw a moment ago needing to step up. This is the sort of game where Adam Morgan needs to step up, and it'll be a great battle to see him and Kevin Toner going at it. For me, Pats are just playing some really nice attractive football. Very impressed with the likes of Jamie Lennon in recent weeks, a youngster that's come into that side. I just feel there's more positivity, a bit more flair and panache about this Pats team. I'm going to go for a 3-1 win.
Okay. Well, now we've got our interview with Keith O'Dwyer.
Yeah, Keith O'Dwyer from Ocean FM in Sligo. Great coverage for Sligo Rovers, and we spoke to him about all things the bit o'red. So I'm delighted to be joined online now by Keith O'Dwyer from Ocean FM, who covers Sligo Rovers games. Keith, you're very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks very much, Kieran. I'm delighted to be on with yourself on the podcast, and congratulations on the success that you're having so far. It's a great addition to have this coverage for the league.
Thanks very much, Keith, and likewise with Ocean FM, it's great to see local stations covering local teams. So on Sligo Rovers, Keith, obviously they're playing in Cork tonight as we speak, so we won't speak too much about that game, just maybe a brief prediction. Do you hold out much hope of getting a result down in Turner's Cross?
Bizarrely enough, I do, Kieran. I actually feel that we're playing better away from home. If you look at our away form, the two wins against Bray and Limerick and the draw in Dalyman Park, and even the game we lost against Shamrock Rovers in the Talla Stadium, we probably deserved a point in that. And in the last couple of years, I don't know whether it's the feeling that there's no expectation on them. We have tended to produce results down in Turner's Cross, like Rhys McCabe, of course, getting the winner last year. That was crucial to us staying up, but there'll be pressure on Cork kind of to go out to win. They'll be mindful of Dundalk playing Limerick. I'd love to see us get a point, but I think we might lose narrowly. It might be something like, depends who scores first, but it could be 2-1 to Cork.
Just on the subject of away form, Keith, I suppose the counter argument there, you're saying the Sligo are playing better away from home, but you've beaten Limerick and Bray, two of the bottom sides in the division. The gaming Turners last season didn't really mean a lot to Cork City at the time, so obviously the home form is the huge worry for Sligo. Why do you feel they're struggling at the Showgrounds, not just this season, but last season there was very few wins there? I know they only lost two games, but Sligo Rovers are a club you always associate with a big vocal home support, so you'd imagine the results would be a lot better at the Showgrounds than they have been.
Yeah, without question, Kieran. I think the correlation between the kind of downturn and home form and the team's position, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. I know my time when I worked for the club, the Showgrounds is near impenetrable under the likes of Paul Cook and Ian Barraclough. You weren't going to come to the Showgrounds and get a result, and if you did, it meant you'd played very, very well. The fear factor seems to be gone. Like, it's a great surface now, it's a great pitch. I know before you talk to any players and they come there, they didn't like playing in Sligo, they didn't like the pitch, they didn't like the ground. Now you've one of the best grounds in the country. You've got a great pitch. But also, I don't think the team holds the same level of intimidation. Like, if you think, Kieran, there a few years ago, you're going to play Sligo Rovers, you're coming up against the likes of Joseph Ndoh, of Richie Ryan, of Owen Doyle, of Paul Gammon. So straight away, they're in your mindset that you have to adapt your tactics to counter against them. In recent years, we have good players, but we're just not consistent. And I don't know, like, the crowds are still good. You have to give credit to the people of Sligo, and indeed the county surrounding, that our average attendance is still very high, you know, compared to our league position.
Yeah.
But I think there's an awful weight of expectation. And I can sense it myself from all my time kind of covering Sligo Rovers matches, watching Sligo Rovers matches, working for Sligo Rovers. There's a real impatience that comes from the stand if Rovers aren't playing well, if they go a goal down, there doesn't seem to believe that the team can get a goal back. And, you know, there seems to be an edginess on behalf of the players playing in front of their own crowd. And if you take that defeat there against Derry, you take how early we are in the season, but to do five games out of your opening six is crazy. But to have the team booed off that early into the season as well, you know, it really lets the players know that the people aren't happy. So I don't know, it seems to be a number of factors. There's no excuse in terms of the facilities. There's no excuse in terms of the pitch. You know, I actually thought our squad this year is probably a bit better than the team we had last year. I thought Jared Little signed very well. We don't seem to have gelled. And I get your point about the away performances and the teams we play, but I think there's less pressure on the players away from home. Like, if you lose in the showgrounds in Sligo, and, you know, given that all the players are based in Sligo, and it's probably the same for Longford players, the people in Sligo, they won't be long coming up and telling you what to think of you and the team if they see you around the town.
Well, I don't think you'll see too many Longford Town players around the town, unfortunately. But Keith, on the signings you've mentioned there, I'd have to disagree. I know myself and John here, when we've spoken about Sligo throughout the season, we haven't been impressed with the transfer business done there. I'm just a few names I jotted down there before we started talking. Pincelli has hardly played. Adam Morgan had a little spell of goals there, but I think personally he seems to be suffering from a lack of service. McAleer had a good start to the season. He seems to have gone quiet the last few weeks. Ali Roy in and out of the team. So there are players, a lot of them, that don't have, bar obviously McAleer was with Harps last season, don't have a huge experience of League of Ireland. Is that a big issue within the team?
It's a big issue, but I suppose, Kieran, that's not new for Sligo Rovers. Like, if you look at our signing policy, the majority of signings tend to be from outside the league. It's probably the same problem for a lot of provincial clubs, but I know from my time, like, even as a club secretary, it's very hard for Sligo Rovers to get a player from, let's say, Dublin or Cork to sign for Sligo Rovers. But it's far easier for us to go into the UK and indeed even into the European markets and get a player to come over. So you're kind of starting on the back foot in terms of wanting for players to adapt. Now, taking your point there with Adam Morgan, I actually think Adam Morgan is a good signing, but I think he is criminally underutilised. Like, he's not getting any service at all. Yeah. Even the game there on Saturday night against Limerick, there's not enough balls being played into his feet. There's no crosses being whipped across to give him something to work off. And I think as well, with our formation, there's a bit of a gap between him and midfield. His movement is great. I think he takes up good positions. If you look at the goals that he scored, it's from him being in the right place at the right time to put the ball in. Like, people say, oh, they're all close-range goals. But you have to be there. You know, and he's getting no service at all. Pincelli, I actually think Pincelli isn't a bad player. It's where they're going to slot him in. Jared Little seems to, you know, with our midfield, like, he'd Reese McCabe sitting too deep for weeks. He pushed him forward a little bit more against Limerick. We got a result. Pincelli, to me, is kind of a bit similar to Joseph Ndoh in that not as much quality, but he can use the ball. Mm. He can pick a pass, but he's not going to track back. You're not going to get, you know, a 90 minutes out of him, but you're probably best play him in either behind a striker or up with a striker and play him as a link man. And with McAleer and Roy, I think, you know, they did start off really well, but they were probably a bit over-reliant on their pace. Once defenders got kind of cued to that, they were able to kind of shut them down and shut the service going out to them. And if you look there against Limerick, you know, I think Little kind of recognised that as well, with bringing in Quartaro and McCabe kind of on the wings. It means that we're playing a bit narrow because those players tend to come inside, but they're two hard-working wingers. The only problem I have with our signings, kind of, Kieran, and I kind of get your point, but the market is kind of limited, is I think we're too reliant on loan players. Like, you know, come July, we lose four players. So you're starting again, dependent on your league position. And last year, and indeed the year before, we kind of a mini turnover players in terms of nearly a panic in the team's position to see, right, who can we get in to ensure we can stay up? And like the one credit you'll have to give to the people of Sligo and the committee is that they can find the money to help the team whenever it's needed.
Yeah, and just on the loan player situation there, I think that's something we're seeing throughout the league, Keith. A lot of sides have brought players in, younger players particularly, that aren't getting their chance in England. So it's going to be an interesting summer to see whether those players stay or go and how that's going to affect individual teams within the league. Just on the formation, 10 goals in 10 games, it's a very low scoring rate. A lot of those players that I've mentioned there, Keith, you would associate them as being attacking players. So is Gerard Litton's formation and set up too defensive at Sligo at the moment?
It has been. Without question, Kieran, I think that's been seen in the games. I don't know if it's that he doesn't trust them too much to go forward or if he just doesn't want to leave us open to attacks. There have been issues defensively as well. Callum McFadden hasn't looked as solid as he was last season. He was one of our best performers last season. The young people announced he was re-signed. We're delighted. I still feel he's a really, really good centre-half. It's a question of getting the right partner beside him. Seamus Sharkey is completely out of form. And, you know, he had done really well last season. Mm. Patrick McLean came in as a left-back. He's coming in centre-half now, so he's only building a partnership. You know, Colin Waters, there was flashes and moments for him. He looked really well, but up against the more experienced players in games, he was being taken apart. Gary Boylan has suffered from being played in a number of positions in the past couple of years, despite only being a young man. Right back, I think, could be his position going forward. So I think Gerard Little is determined to kind of stick with him and give him a chance. Regan Donlan just played his first game there against Limerick, so it's going to take him a couple of games to kind of catch up to speed, but I do think there's uncertainty there because the manager is chopping and changing, and even the goalkeeper, you know, Michael Nihal Singerman and the Mitchell Beeney, they're kind of nearly rotating that position around, and he seemed determined to try and give cover to the defence, that he's really worried about the opposition getting at us from midfield. So you have David Cawley, who's been our best player, like he's played every minute. He has matured so much since his first spell in the Showgrounds. I think the couple of seasons away with St. Pat's and Galway did him the world of good. Like, he looks very much how he did when he first kind of burst into the scene in our League winning team. But he's sitting to kind of shield that midfield. Reese McCabe had to do the same. And Reese McCabe, that's not him as a player. Like, he's such a quality player that you have to give him license to roam and push forward because he can make something happen. Then he clearly looked unhappy. And like, if you've got an unhappy player, he's not going to, you know, play as well as he could. And we were just getting no service. Like, the goals, my feeling on every game was that we had to score first in terms of getting results. Because if we didn't score first, we weren't going to be good enough to break a team down. And I think that's been played out by the results.
Yeah, I think the word myself and John used on the show last week was toothless when we were describing the Sligo attack. And from what you're saying there, that seems to be the case. If you're to log on online today, Keith, all the talk online is about Stephen Bradley's future at Shamrock Rovers. The spotlight is really on him. But how far away are we from seeing a situation where the spotlight might turn to Gerard Little?
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, they're like, Sligo's a great place for rumours. I think the amount of people that talk about Sligo Rovers, if half of them actually went to the games, we'd have the biggest average crowd in the country. You know, we'd be doing fine. But there had been talk that Gerard Little, had we, you know, lost against Limerick, could be in trouble of losing his job. Personally, I wouldn't have seen that as being the case. I think the committee has kind of backed Gerard. He came in halfway through the season last year. He did turn form around and he did keep the team up. For me, I think they probably will give him a little bit longer to May or June. But what's lurking in the background, Kieran, is a financial consideration. You know, if you keep losing at home and people are voting with their feet and not going and results are not good, then it is something that the club would have to look at. And I think they have shown in recent years, you know, that they can be ruthless enough, like with Owen Heary being sacked, with Dave Robertson being sacked, and Gerard Little would know that as well. There's a lot of expectation around Sligo Rovers. Is it realistic? Probably not. But for me, I think the shadow of the Paul Cook and Ian Bartoff era is haunting every manager that's coming after because it's so recent. Supporters got a taste of the success, of the glory, of competing, of being one of the top sides. And it's very hard to accept when you're not as good. Whereas for likes of myself, like I'm supporting Sligo Rovers, let's say now, I'm not going to show my age too much, over 30 years. And I can honestly say, Kieran, for about 24 of those 30 years, the team's been fairly crap. So, you know, you kind of got used to it. But it's harder now. People want to see it. Like, we were so used to a certain style of football, to a certain style of player. And even financially, you know, we recorded our first loss, I think, in a number of years last year off the AGM. That's people voting with their feet, with crowds going down, with season tickets going down. I think if we went on another downturn of form, my gut feeling, Kieran, was he'd be gone before a summer transfer window because they'd look to bring another manager in. and give him time to kind of turn it around and bring players in to keep the club up, because it's vital for Sligo Rovers to stay in the Premier Division.
6 points clear of Bray, 1 point clear of Limerick at the moment, Keith. Obviously Limerick also in action tonight at home to Dundalk, so you wouldn't hold out much hope there of the Limbs picking up any type of result. In terms of the next three games for Sligo, St. Pat's at home, Waterford away, and the wheels look to have come off there with all the suspensions. And then an interesting one, you have Bray at home then. Obviously Bray with that big win over Shamrock Rovers last night, it's interesting to see how they're going to kick on from that. In terms of Limerick's fixtures, as I said, Dundalk tonight, then they play Shamrock Rovers, they have Bray themselves, and then the informed Derry. So it's the flip of the coin really in terms of who has the harder set of fixtures, but one way or another, this is a crucial three games coming up for Sligo Rovers now.
Yeah, I think it's a crucial mini period. But as you said, like, look, okay, Pats seem to have turned the corner. Pats are in good form. They've kind of always been a bit of a bogey side for Sligo Rovers in recent years. So we did get the big win against them a couple of years ago. We needed to go there to win, stay up with Denny Corcoran getting the winner. But would it have been at home? Oh, you'd be hoping for something, that there has to be some break in a kind of our home form. Waterford away, I actually think Waterford away, it might be a good time to play them. Mm. You know, the wheels do seem to come off. There is a bit of uncertainty. The Regional Sports Centre is kind of a venue that suits Sligo Rovers in terms of a pitch and the style that Little, you know, tends to kind of employ. And then you'll be looking at Bray at home. Like, Bray at home is must win. And you need, you know, you'd need at least one other result from those two games beforehand, even if it was a point. Like, if you got 4 points or anything out of it, you'd probably still keep a gap of the between the teams below you, especially the Bray one. The Bray one, I think any game now between ourselves and Bray, Shelf and Limerick, they have to be must win.
Yeah. Final word, Keith. Are Sligo Rovers going to stay up this season?
They are, Kieran. Without a shadow of a doubt. I can't believe otherwise.
Keith, been an absolute pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us. Some great insight there on the Bit All Red, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Many thanks, Kieran. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Keith.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So, folks, that has been Series 2, Episode 9 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. A mammoth show, over an hour and a half tonight, slightly longer than usual, but there was just so many talking points in the League of Ireland this weekend, and I'm sure after the weekend's results, there's going to be even more. Huge pressure on Stephen Bradley, as we said, to get a result now against Limerick. Derry Dundalk's going to be a cracker, and so many tight games coming up in the First Division. We're really looking forward to bringing you Series 2, Episode 10 next week with more big guests. But before we go, we have to say a huge thank you to our main sponsors, Flomax.ie. Believe it or not, this is only our 10th episode of this season. Obviously, we were around last year, but this year alone, it's cost us over €500 of our own pocket to run this production. And without the support of Flomax, we simply would not be able to bring you this each and every week.
Yeah, great League of Ireland supporters. They support
St. Pat's. It's quite cool to see them on the back of the jersey, I have to say.
It's brilliant, yeah. And we do thank them for their support of this podcast.
Yeah, and obviously Diageo are website supporters as well. So check out our website, betweenthestripes.ie, where you can get access to this very podcast. But of course, the other ways to find us, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, Podcast Republic, all your other Android apps such as Podcast Addict. And then the main ones, of course, are Audio Boom and iTunes. And as we said, we're putting a lot of time, money and effort into this production. So we really do appreciate anyone that gives us a subscription on iTunes. And a review as well would be great. And we're hoping to bounce up them charts this week. Folks, that's been the show. Thanks to all our guests. Thanks to everyone that's tuned in. And we'll speak to you again soon.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit betweenthestripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.